Man, you can have a seat. Get your Bible out. And as you're getting your Bible out, you might as well turn to Mark the 6th chapter. We're going to launch out on Mark the 6th chapter tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you about the attack of lack. A lot of times in our lives we find ourselves under attack, especially when we go into the wisdom of God for areas such as we have been in this church, talking about our finances, talking about tithes and offerings, talking about stewardship and that sort of a thing. In fact, I just received an email from somebody who said, you know what, for the first time this last weekend, I decided that I had just had enough of being miserable in my life, had enough of knowing what to do and not doing it. And so therefore, I just said, that's it. I know there's never going to be a good season. There's never going to be a good time. I'm just going to believe God and trust God with my tithe. And you know what happened to them? All hell broke loose against them. I mean, they just had thing after thing after thing after thing. And all throughout the letter that they sent, they were saying, you know, I'm chuckling, I'm laughing, I'm smiling, just so that we knew that, you know, all of the stuff wasn't getting them down, but that they knew that this was no coincidence, that the moment they decided to step out in faith, the moment they decided to trust God, that an attack came against their life. And oftentimes, we'll see this attack in an area of our lives called lack. In fact, in the days of old cities, when an army would attack and besiege a city, the people would shut themselves inside the walls of the cities, and they would shut the gates up tight. And if the attacking army couldn't build siege ramps against it, maybe there's a moat around it that they couldn't fill in, or maybe they just couldn't get close to the walls of the city because they were dumping oil or rocks or shooting arrows at them or something like that. Often what the attacking army would do was that they would camp outside of the area where they could be in harm's way, and they would completely encamp around the city, and then they would just sit there. Sometimes for months, they would wait, and they would wait, and they would wait. Why were they waiting? They were waiting for resources on the inside of those walls to run out. See, oftentimes, if there wasn't a natural spring or a river that was flowing into the city, there was a shortage or a lack of water. You don't only live so many days without water. Oftentimes, there was a lack of food. Maybe there was a lack of supplies if they could get in, and maybe they could shoot arrows and that sort of a thing. But eventually, they were going to run out of arrows. And so what that attacking nation would do is they would just camp, and they would wait it out, and they would attack that city with lack, until lack finally forced them to give up and to give in and to surrender themselves and everybody inside the city. We see this all throughout the Bible. In fact, some very famous stories in the Bible, things that are really impacting, like Hezekiah and his men on the walls talking to the invading army, and the invading army's talking in the Hebrew common language, and they say, oh, no, don't talk to us in the common language. They say, oh, no, we're going to talk to you in the common language. Why? Because they're trying to instill fear in the people. They're trying to get them to come over to their side. They're trying to get them to defect or show a weakness in the city. Now, lack can come to us in many ways. In present day, the devil is no different. See, the Bible says that we are not unaware of his tactics. And therefore, we need to recognize and realize that when we start to follow the will and the way of God, that an attack will come against our lives. And sometimes that attack can come in this area of lack. See, the devil will camp around you. The devil will squeeze things off. The devil will try and keep resources away from you. Remember, the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill and destroy. See, he will try and deplete your resources so that you will have lack in your life, so that eventually he can kill you and destroy you. See, it starts with an attack of lack. He will steal, then kill and destroy. And so we need to be wise enough to realize and recognize that when we are following the will and the way of God, that it's not just a bed of roses, even though it is the highway of holiness, even though it is the right way, the narrow way. The road is narrow, but the way is hard to find. See, there is opposition. There's things that come against us. Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. Have you noticed that you do have trouble in the world? That's not one of those promises of God that you have to believe God for or confess over your life or pray for, you know. We're not out there, but God, I just believe you for trouble today, Lord. See, no, we don't have to do that. It just comes our way. In the world, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we can see this lack can come in many ways. Here's a couple ways that I was just thinking about. How about this lack? Lack of experience. Sometimes we feel that we're inadequate because we don't have enough experience in that area. I know somebody was telling me, I was trying to get a job, but you know what? I just couldn't get it because I didn't have enough experience. See, lack can sometimes be an attack in your life. How about this? A lack of time. A lot of times we're so busy that the important things get pushed to the wayside in our busyness. And rather than prioritize and put first things first, sometimes things like prayer, things like getting into God's word, getting into God's presence, connecting with God, even church, can get pushed to the side. Why? Because of a lack of time. Okay, what about some other ones? Well, how about a lack of talent? Sometimes we feel like, you know what, I'm not good enough. I don't have the talent or the skill to do what I need to do. How about resources? That's a big one. Sometimes we just feel inadequate. I don't have enough money. I don't have the resources. I could never start a business because I don't have the startup costs. I can't do it. Why? Because I'm lacking the resources necessary. Sometimes those resources could be knowledge. I don't know how to do it. Therefore, I'm not going to do anything. And we just lay down and surrender defeat because we don't have what we think we need. Or even wisdom. Sometimes we know what to do, but we don't know how to do it, so we don't do anything. Anybody other than Pastor Dan find themselves in that predicament sometimes? You know what you should be doing? You just don't know how to do it, so therefore, don't do anything, right? And we sit there, and it's almost like we just say, okay, devil, and we open up the gates, come on in, plunder the city, kill it, and just wipe me out. It's all right, you know? And yet God doesn't want us to surrender to lack. Because our God is a God of infinite resources. Our God is a God of infinite wealth, infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge. I mean, God knows everything. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if God can take care of the universe, I think God can take care of our lives. What do you think? Mark chapter 6, if you will. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 through verse 44. We'll read and we'll talk about it as we go. We find Jesus, the disciples have just come back to him. He's just heard that John the Baptist was beheaded. And so his disciples came back to him. His disciples are all excited. And they come to him. They say, Jesus, listen to what happened. And he says, okay, guys, we've been doing a lot. Let's go away. And we find it in verse 31. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Right off the bat, we find out that Jesus and his disciples are lacking some things. Number one, they're lacking rest. So fatigue could be setting in. They're tired. Sometimes when you're tired, you get weary. Sometimes when you're weary, you make bad decisions. So here Jesus says, we're lacking in this area of rest, and they don't even have time to eat. So they're lacking time, and also they're lacking energy. They're lacking that sustenance. They need to eat some food, the natural things. And so Jesus knows that we need to take care of ourselves. And so he says, come away to a deserted place. Very interesting. Very interesting to me that Jesus takes them to a place of lack to teach them something. Think about that for a moment. Jesus brought them to a place that was lacking. See, he didn't say, let's come over to a city. Oh, let's go over to that oasis over there that has waterfalls and plenty of food. And, there's a whole bunch of couches that we can lay down on and sleep. No, he said, let's go to a deserted place. So here Jesus is, and how many of you know God doesn't do anything by accident? It's all by design. So Jesus is leading his disciples into a place of lack to teach them something. Wow. Very interesting. For there were many coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. Verse 32, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Verse 33, but the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived there before them and came together to him. So in other words, here Jesus launches out from the boat, and all the people that were following said, okay, where is he going? Well, let's see. If he goes that direction a little bit long, it looks like he's going to land right over there. And they ran around the lake to get to the place where he's going, so that when Jesus showed up, they said, hey, I didn't know you were going to be here. How crazy. Well, since you're here, come on over here. Come on, hang with us. Look at the response of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, oh man, okay, turn the boat around, let's go back. He doesn't do any of that. Look at what Jesus does. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. See, Jesus sees the multitudes and he doesn't get bugged or annoyed or doesn't get mad at them. No, he has compassion on them. Why? Because they were lacking something. What were they lacking? They were lacking a shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. So Jesus starts to teach them, starts to lead them, starts to feed them with the bread of life, the word of God. Wow. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, once again, here's another area of lack. The day is now far spent. There's no more day left. It's getting late. when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late." Now, they knew that because Jesus said, "We're going to go to a deserted place." So then they get there, and disciples point out the obvious. "Jesus, this is a deserted place, and the hour is now late." Verse 36, "Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Now, the disciples didn't have time to eat. These people have nothing to eat. Once again, we see another area of lack. So they say, "Send the people away. Let them go into the surrounding villages. Let them go buy themselves something to eat." Verse 37, "But he," speaking of Jesus, "answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat.'" Now, I love reading this in the different Gospels because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You can read that in the Gospel accounts, that Jesus already knew what he was going to do in this instance. I almost picture Jesus with a little smirk on his face, kind of like there's an inside joke between him and the Holy Spirit that he's about to let the disciples in on. You know, and he just can't wait to do this. He can't wait to do what he's about to do, and yet he doesn't want to give away the punchline too soon. So here come the disciples, and they're complaining, they're bawling, they're squalling. "It's a deserted place. Why do we come here? Listen, send these people away. We haven't even had time to eat ourselves. Let them go into the cities. They don't have anything to eat. Let them go buy themselves some bread." Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." I can imagine the disciples thinking to themselves, "Okay, me? Give them something to eat. Right. Okay, Jesus. What's brewing, right?" And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" Now, really what they're saying is, 200 denarii, we don't know what that means. We think that was that $200. What was that? That was actually half a year's wages. So they say, "Shall we take 6 months worth of wages?" That's actually a lot of money. "Shall we take tens of thousands of dollars and go buy them something to eat, really?" And actually, if you read the other accounts, they say, "But what is that among so many?" They say, even half a year's wages wasn't really enough to feed everybody that was there. Verse 38, "But he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.'" See, now Jesus is starting to implement the plan. He's starting to reveal to them what's going on. "And when they found out, they said, 5. Two fish." Now, if you read the book of John, you know it was a little boy showed up with his lunch, right? And here he had these little 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so they said, we got this, but what is that among so many? 5 and 2 fish, verse 39. "Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. Verse 41. "And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all." Verse 42, "So they all ate and were filled." Verse 43, "And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish." Verse 44, "Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." Now this is a miracle that took place. Jesus is standing, looking to heaven, giving thanks, blessing the bread. He breaks it. And as he breaks it and distributes it to his disciples, now the disciples take that broken piece and they take it over, and there's a group of 50 men and they say, "Okay, here's some for you, but listen, don't take too much. Don't, because there's all these people got to eat too." And so they're distributing and they say, "Okay, here you go." And as they're distributing, they keep going, and all 50 of those people all got a piece. So, okay, well, let's see. "Well, Jesus, do you have any more of that bread?" And he says, "Yes, here you go. Go give that." Okay, so they take it and they go, and here you go. And okay, here. And they start distributing. And okay, and you want some more? All right, here you go. I think we got enough. And they go back, and "Jesus, do you have some more? Oh, we got to go over here now." Okay. And so they're breaking the bread and they're handing it out. And as they are distributing it, there is a miracle taking place that in a deserted place, in an area of lack, with not enough, now all of a sudden it's placed in the hands of the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and as he breaks it open and he distributes it, now all of a sudden it feeds the multitudes. Thousands, 5,000 men. That means women and children weren't even counted. So that means there could have been 10 to 12,000, maybe even 15,000 people sitting on the grass, eating bread and fish. My goodness, what is God trying to teach us? What is Jesus trying to teach us through it all? Well, Jesus is actually calling them to a place that was lacking in resources, to have them stay there a while. And the lesson is in our lack. See, when the devil comes in, the Bible says that like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. See, we need to recognize and realize that the attacks of the enemy are not just mean-spirited. They're not meant to defeat us. No, they're meant to make us stronger and to grow us in faith. And listen, the chump's already defeated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil has already been defeated. So that means anything he is doing on the earth is because we're allowing it on the earth. We are now ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ on the earth. So if the devil is doing something, we have the wisdom of God. We have the word of God. We have the weapons of our warfare now to go in, to fight the fight, to have every resource available to us that we need. God just needs us to get in line with his word. Are you listening? See, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, that God has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That means that when we look at Jesus and when we see Jesus, now we see the Father, we see his intent, we see his purposes. And we understand that in a lacking place, Jesus showed off and showed his disciples and showed the multitudes who God is and how God operates. And so in our lives, when lack comes, we need to attack the lack. Are you listening? In our lives, when an attack of lack comes, we need to attack the lack. So a couple of things I see in this story today that we need to do in order to attack the lack. If we are going to go after this thing, if we're going to go through this thing, and when that siege comes against our lives, and now there's a battle against us, and we're lacking resources, we're lacking talent, time, wisdom, energy, whatever it is, that we can go after and attack the lack. Couple of things for tonight. Are you ready? All right, couple of you guys are. How about the rest of you guys? Are the rest of you guys ready? Amen. There you are. All right. Praise the Lord. How to attack the lack. Number one is you got to get organized. Got to get organized. Think about this. Jesus gets them organized. He says, first of all, find out what you do have. Don't look at what you don't have. There's no food here. It's a deserted place. We're lacking. See, when you start getting your eyes on those things, you start getting discouraged. You start to get in doubt. You start to get in fear. You start to calculate in the natural. Jesus said, I don't want you to do that. Find out how many loaves you have. Where are you starting with? See, you have to have something to place into the hands of God, even to get going. So don't look at what you don't have. Start looking at what God has given you. If you have a little strength, at least you got some strength, right? If you have a little wisdom, a little knowledge, if you have a little verse, if you have a little scripture, if you have a little word from God. See, one word from God is powerful enough to change the world. One word from Jesus commanded Peter to walk on the water. How much more can one little word from God do in your life? See, that's what this is really all about. What do you have, saints? We get so caught up in what we don't have, and we compare with other people, and we compare with other Christians, and we compare with the world, and as we look around, we start to get discouraged, and yet God is saying, get organized. Find out what you do have. Notice that God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And oftentimes in chaotic situations, you can't even see what's really around you. It's like my desk. Man, when my desk is disorganized, can't find a single thing. But once I start putting papers and sex, I needed this. I didn't know I had. Oh, where's this been? You know, you start finding stuff that you want, you know, and all of a sudden you realize that you're not lacking in that area anymore. Now all of a sudden you can know what's going on. So, well, Jesus commanded them, right? What does he command them to do? To sit down and rank. Sit down in groups of 50 and 100. Why? Because they're about ready to manage a miracle. And God wasn't going to have chaos. No, God wanted order. God wanted everything to be done decently. God wanted it to be recorded. God wanted it to be just totally orderly. Why? Because God is OCD? No, because God wanted us today to recognize and realize that there were 5,000 men and women and children who were all fed. Why? Because that builds our faith. It shows us how great our God is. It builds appreciation. And now all of a sudden we can recognize and realize that no matter how big the task, how big the scenario, well, how big the problem, how deep the lack, how deep the hurt, it doesn't matter. Why? Because my God is bigger than all that and he can supply for all of that. Wow. So he says, get organized. Think about what they had. Think about what they had. The disciples had 5 loaves, 2 fish, thousands of people, and 1 miracle-working God. And that was a recipe for success in their lives. You there in Mark? Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Maybe just know how to get back to Mark. Put your finger there or something. We'll go back maybe a little bit here and there. Proverbs chapter 27. Great section of scripture. See, God never called Christians to be brainless or to be mindless. God wants us to be involved. God wants us to know what's going on in our lives. God wants us to be able to account for what's happening. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. Starting in verse number 23, it says this. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23, it says, "Be diligent." Everybody say, "Be diligent." See, it says, don't say, "Be lazy." God never called us to be lazy. God has some promises for sluggards in the Word, okay? So he says, be diligent to know. Everybody say, know. The state of your flocks. What does that mean? Your wealth, what you have. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend. Everybody say, attend. Attend to your herds. See, you can't just float through life. As much as we would like to, as much as it's easy, and whatever happens, happens, that's not going to work. God says, I want you to be diligent, I want you to know, and I want you to attend to this. Look at verse 24, for riches are not forever. See, there will be lack that comes to your life. We all know that 2008 hit, and we all said, what happened to all of our wealth? Stock market crashed, we all said, what happened to 401k? Real estate values plummeted, we said, what happened to our equity? There's a lot of lack going on. Riches are not forever. Nor does a crown endure to all generations. See, it's not always going to be that certain political party that's in office in our country. We're not always going to have it be. There is change that's continually happening on the earth. Things come up, things go down. Look at what it says, verse 25. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, verse 26, the lambs will provide your clothing. And the goats, the price of a field. So what is he saying? He says, if you know the state of your flocks and you attend to your herds, then when all the old stuff is removed and new stuff starts coming up, it's from your flocks, it's from that attention, from knowing what's going on, from being organized in that area of your life, that now you are going to receive your sustenance. You get it? Your clothing, he calls it, and as well, what you're going to eat. Verse 27, you shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. What does that mean? That means that this is not just enough for one person, you, right? Oftentimes we're only thinking of it ourselves. But anybody that has a family knows that it's not just me. I've got other mouths to feed, right? So if you know the state of your flocks, if you're being diligent, if you're attending to your herds, then when the new stuff comes up, then that flock now is going to provide for your clothing, provide for your business to buy a field, right? But also it's going to feed you, it's going to feed your family, and it's going to feed the people that are dependent on your life, your maidservants. Isn't that amazing? See, that's when Jesus divided to the disciples and the disciples divided to the multitudes. Now there was nothing lacking. There was more than enough for everybody. That's what God is talking about, that as we get organized, now it's not just enough for you, but it's enough for your family, and it's enough to bless those around you. Can anybody say amen tonight? Wow. God is good. So how to attack the lack? Number one is get organized. Organization is not a bad thing. It's tough, yes, and for some of us creative types, it can be difficult. Yeah, it might hurt a little when you think. That's okay. Push through the pain. You can do it. I know I had to. My goodness, my wife can say a big amen to that. How to attack the lack. Number one, get organized. Number two, ask the Father. Ask the Father. Notice back there in Mark, if you will, let's just go back there. Mark chapter 6, once again. Here Jesus has the bread in his hands, and look at what he does. Verse 41. Mark chapter 6, verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what did he do? He looked up to heaven. They were organized. They knew what they had. Everybody was sitting down. Now what's he do? He looks up to heaven. See, Jesus knew where the source was coming from. We ought to be wise enough to follow Jesus' example. Not look to our own resources. Not look to the people around us to provide. Not look to what's going on in the world. Why? Because you'll get depressed. Remember, when we get organized, we start to find out what we have. But then you don't look to what you have to provide for you. If Jesus would have looked to the five loaves and started dividing that up, they'd have been out real quick. And there'd have been a lot of people hungry that day. And yet Jesus doesn't look to the loaves, doesn't look to himself, doesn't look to his disciples. No, what does he do? He looks to heaven. He looks to the Father. He looks to the one who has the power to do something. And now as he looks to the Father and he blesses it and he breaks it, a miracle takes place. In other words, church, we've got to keep our eyes on the Father. We've got to keep our focus to heaven. We've got to always keep in mind the things of God. Why? Because if you look to the world, it's going to fail you. If you look to people around you, they're going to desert you. If you look to what you have, it's going to be lacking. And yet, if you look to the Father, the Bible says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is able, church. God is able to take care of the lack. And if you're going to attack the lack, this is not in your own strength. It's not in your own power. You've got to do it in the power of God. Philippians chapter 4. Turn there with me real quick. Philippians chapter 4. We were there last week with Dr. Paul for us gringos. Philippians chapter number 4. Great section of scripture. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. Great verse to put to memory. And if you're lacking, man, start proclaiming this verse over your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19 says this. He says, and my God shall supply all your need. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, this is not about us having material wealth here on the earth. It's not about us in our own supply, our own strength. No, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you don't know how you're going to make it and the bills need to be paid, you start declaring, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you don't have the wisdom that you need and you're lacking in the knowledge to get the job done, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you don't know what to do, the children have just gone astray and you feel like a failure, you're lacking in the parenting skills, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, we need to keep our eyes fixed and focused on heaven. Not on our lack, not on our lead. If we look to those areas, we're going to get discouraged and depressed. But God is able. In other words, get it out of your hands and get it into God's hands, and he will take care of the lack. Are you listening? See, more you hold on to it, no miracles happen here. But when I place it in the Master's hands, and when he blesses it, and when he breaks it open, now all of a sudden a miracle takes place, and there is more than enough. Amen? How to attack the lack. Number one is get organized. Number two, ask the Father. Number three, I like this one. Number three, keep a grateful heart. Keep a grateful heart. It's always awesome to me to see the prayers throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible you read, I give thanks to my God. I give thanks. I have a grateful heart. And here Jesus is, and in Mark's gospel, it doesn't record this, it just says he blessed it. But if you read in the book of John, it says, when he had given thanks. Now, we know how we bless our food at the table, right? My kids have this formula prayer every time we sit down at the table. We sit down and it says, who wants to pray? And all three of them raise their hands. And I say, okay, go ahead, because I know that in unison, all three of them in their cute little voices are all going to say, thank you, God, for our food. Blessed to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. And then it's time to eat after that, right? And so we know when we bless our food, what do? We give thanks. And that in our giving of thanks, that there's a blessing that takes place on our life. See, God loves grateful people. That's why the Bible tells us that God is unwilling to abandon a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving. What does that mean? That means that I'm excited. That means that I'm happy. That means that I'm grateful. Wow. See, you almost can't say thank you without a smile. Without knowing that, my goodness, God, it's all because of you. God, you've given me everything that I have. God, I'm so thankful. God, you are God. God, you've been good to me. God, you've led me through the lack. God, you've led me through the wilderness. God, you've taken care of me. And therefore, God, thank you. Thank you. And here Jesus is, and before the miracle takes place, he looks to heaven and he says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what we do have. See, in a society where when lack comes, it's ungratefulness. God didn't provide. God didn't bless. God didn't do. And we start looking at what isn't taking place rather than looking at what we have and saying, God, I'm so grateful. God, I'm so thankful to be born where I'm born and live in this time, God. God, I could have lived in another time where it was persecution. God, I could have lived in another place where it was persecution. There are Christians dying today. There are Christians in prison today, right now, believing God, wondering what's going to happen to them, wishing that they had pages of the Bible, and yet we're so rich in the American church that we have not only one Bible, but we can break out our smartphone and we can look up several translations. We've got church that we can come into freely. See, there's so much that we have, church. We're so rich. Pastor Richard, our youth pastor here, broke out some stats in our staff meeting, started talking about the world currency calculator, world wealth calculator. You could find out what percentage of wealth you are. And my goodness, we're in like the top 4% here in America. In our poverty level, it's the top 4% of the world. We ought to be grateful. We ought to be grateful that God has blessed us to live where we live in the time that we live in. And when we look at the stuff that we have, when we start to get organized and we see what God has placed in our hands, and then when we look to heaven, we ought to not say, God, why didn't you give me more? God, why didn't you pour out the blessing? God, what's going on here? I thought I prayed. I thought I believed. No, start to say, God, I thank you for what you placed in my hands. And now, God, I bless it and I speak to it that my God will supply my need. God will take care of my lack. See, now all of a sudden God has something to work with. Why? Because God's unwilling to abandon a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, great little verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Hold on, maybe you missed that like I did the first time I read it. In everything, give thanks. In everything, what does everything mean? Everything, right? So that means in good times, give thanks. That means in bad times, give thanks. That means in abundance, give thanks. That means in lack, give thanks. That means when you have enough for you and a friend, give thanks. When you got enough for you, give thanks. Share with a friend anyway. Hallelujah. Maybe God will do a miracle in your hands. Praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks. Look at this. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I've heard so many people say, Pastor Dan, I don't know the will of God for my life. I don't know what to do with my life. Now, you may not be able to go to the Bible and find out what school you're supposed to go to, where you're supposed to live, you know, the house that you're supposed to purchase. You may not find, you know, who you're supposed to marry and all that kind of stuff. You may not find all that in the Bible. But I will tell you one thing, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Want to know what the will of God is? Start by saying thank you. Start right there, and then God will reveal the rest. God will take care of the rest. Can you say amen? Amen. Last one for tonight. Last one for tonight. You guys still here? Praise the Lord. Last one. Walk in faith and obedience. Walk in faith and obedience. It took faith for the disciples to go to Jesus, receive the bread. They only had 5 loaves. It took faith to believe that Jesus was able to do something. And it took faith for them to take that bread and obedience to walk over and to distribute it. What did they do? They heard the word of the master. And they walked out on the word and they did what he had called them to do. And a miracle took place. Wow. Same thing happened at a wedding supper. You remember here Jesus is attending a wedding. And his mother comes to him and says, hey, there's no more wine. Jesus says, well, woman, my time's not come yet. What does she do? She turns around to the servant and says, whatever he says to you, do it. Right? Here's faith, believing that Jesus is who he says he is. Mary knew who he was from before the time that he was born. So she turns around and in faith speaks, whatever he says to you, do it. And then in obedience, they walk and they go and they prepare the large pitchers of water. And you know what happened as they drew out? It turned the water into wine. And now all of a sudden the master of the feast comes and says, my goodness, you guys saved the best for last. Why? Because it was blessed of God. And so in our lives, if we can walk in faith and obedience, that's when the miraculous takes place. See, sometimes we're waiting for God to do a miracle, and God says, I need you to get the condition for a miracle. I need you to get organized. I need you to look to heaven. I need you to have a grateful heart, and then walk in faith and obedience, and bang, the miracle's going to happen. We can set the stage for the miraculous in our lives. We can believe God for great things, but we can also get out there and put legs to our faith. Walk in faith and obedience. Last verse for tonight, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. It says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. You say, how does that speak to faith and obedience? Listen, every time somebody scatters, they have to believe that the conditions are going to be right, that they've prepared everything. And you think about a farmer, here he has to do tons of stuff. He has to, first of all, have a plot. He's got to have a place. Second of all, he's got to prepare the soil. He's got to get the rocks out of it, got to make sure he has the rows in the right order. Everything's all lined up. And then he's got to take seed, and he's got to scatter that seed, and he's got to believe that the rain, he's got to believe that the heat, he's got to believe that the seasons are all going to be right in order to produce fruit and bring a crop that's going to bring increase into his life. So there's one who scatters in faith and obedience, and look at this, yet increases more. But on the other side of that, if we hold back and if we don't do it God's way, it says, and there is one who withholds more than is right. Now, we would think the one who scattered would have less. Why? Because they took this much, they scattered it, and now they don't have any left. And yet they increase more. But the one who withholds more than what is right, they should have more. They should have this much. Look at what it says. But it leads to poverty. Why? Because they use it up and that resource is gone. See, oftentimes when we're lacking, we pull back from faith. Oftentimes when we're lacking, we pull back from the things of God and pull back from obedience the way God would have us to. Many times I hear people say, you know what, I couldn't afford to tithe. Oh, no, no, no. Listen, you can't afford not to tithe. Why? Because that's withholding more than what is right. That's God's right way of doing it, and that leads to poverty. And yet the one who scatters will increase more. My wife and I were just talking about this. Many times when lack comes into our finances, when we start noticing that there's something going on, there's a lack here, what's taking place, and we recognize and realize this is a demonic attack, we rebuke that thing, we break that thing off, we bring God into the equation, we say, God, listen, we're bringing you into remembrance of your word. We're tithers, Lord. You said you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us, so much so that we can't contain it. And God, you said you would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Now, Lord, there's lack in our finances, but listen, we don't stop there. Oh, no. Then we walk in faith and obedience. We continue to tithe, and then we start to give offerings. And we say, you know what? Hey, I'm lacking right now, but here's what I do have. I got this, and I'm going to put this in the offering plate. Oh, what, devil? You didn't like that? Well, here's another one, right? And so we start to give it away. We start to looking for people that we can bless. We start to say, hey, you know what? Oh, man, we don't have that much finances right now, and everybody's birthday's going on. And after a while, we get frustrated. And we say, no, that's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to be generous. And so all of a sudden we start just buying gifts and we go out there, we make it happen. And you know what? God has never let us down. God's brought increase. Why? Because there's one who scatters yet increases more. Church, as we walk in faith and obedience, put it out there. Do God's will, God's way. God brings the increase into our lives. What did we learn tonight? Well, we learned that there is an attack of lack that can come against our lives. Comes in a lot of different ways. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. Therefore, we've got to attack the lack. How do we do that? Number one, we got to get organized. Know what we have. Know the state of our flocks. Number two, we got to ask the Father, look to heaven. Put it in God's hands. He'll take care of the lack. Number three, we got to keep a grateful heart. Man, it's all about your heart. Stay thankful. Stay grateful. And finally, walk in faith and obedience. Do God's will, God's way. If you got something from the word of the Lord tonight, come on, give God a great big praise. God is so good.